adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, dish med specialist. Yeah, baby. All right, now, Drew.
Yeah.
The lost profits were supposed to be in here tonight. What's wrong with the
line? We're getting feedback. You guys hear that?
Yeah.
Engineer Chris hears it, so he's on it. He's on it, Adam.
He's on it. All right. Uh-oh. He's picked up the phone. That means he's ordering a pizza so he can focus because his blood sugar's low. All right. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're fine. Just ignore it. There, Anderson got it.
Yeah, Anderson got it.
It's done. Chris, it's over.
All right, buddy. That's all right.
Thanks, though.
Thanks.
Yeah. Good hustle.
Good hustle. Lost profits. Supposed to come in tonight. Going to come in tomorrow night.
Oh, there it's back.
Now we're back. Stand up again and hold the phone. Because really, I don't know why, but sort of snafus seem to know when you're
moving
yeah. on them.
Mm-hmm.
They become like roaches. They see the light flick on in the kitchen. They scurry. You know what I'm saying?
You become like the superstitious pigeon.
Yeah.
Which is a famous Skinnerian experiment. We just had random food being sent to the pigeon. The pigeon started going through all these random, bizarre rituals in order to get the food when, in fact, it's being reinforced randomly.
It's random.
Yeah.
Right. But you think you're controlling
it
somehow.
So you start going through increasingly bizarre and elaborate rituals.
Yeah.
Look at Chris now. Chris got one elbow up, hand on the phone.
Pull one nut out and turn counterclockwise. And wait, is it working again? All right.
I wonder if there's a phone line on or something. It's kind of sounding like that. Let me try this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see what happens.
All right. We're good. You ready to rock?
Let's go.
Yeah. Anyway, lost profits. Supposed to. Uh-oh.
Just keep talking.
Okay. Supposed to come in. You never know how truly annoying your voice is until it comes back at you a second and a half later. Lost profits supposed to be in here tonight are going to be in tomorrow night.
Right.
And then we got Steve-O and Chris Pontius coming in here from Wild Boys, of course. All right. You ready? Looking good? Here we go. Brandy.
Hello?
You're 17?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, well, you know how it's normal for girls to discharge?
Yeah.
Well, I discharge every day, and I didn't know if that was normal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I fart at least.
Do you have a discharge with it?
Oh. What is that? Are you telling me that's not farting?
That's not farting.
Oh, my God.
Discharge implies sort of a liquid.
Oh, my God. All these years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was wondering why people were talking about it.
Why
so
it sustains so nicely, too.
And why yeah. what?
Why it sustains so nicely. But, Brandy, it's a common thing, and it doesn't necessarily mean a darn thing. Are you sexually active?
No, I'm not.
There can be vaginal infections in the, you know.
It could be?
Well, there can be vaginal infections that can add to increased discharge and funny
okay,
smells
so
and
like
things.
Nothing.
It's definitely nothing to be worried about.
Well, okay. Every day?
Yeah.
Some women have daily discharge. Are you heavy or overweight?
Excuse me?
Are you overweight at all?
No, I'm not. I'm actually really thin.
Okay.
Isn't that going to... And it's like a nose that never stops running. Do you know what I mean?
You would know what that is.
Is that kind of a problem?
Not necessarily.
Or,
is it what color is the discharge?
It's like a yellowish, clearish kind of color.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you do down there? What do you do? Put a bar rag down there?
No, I just not do anything.
Just changes your underwear.
That's mm-hmm. it, huh? Just at the end of a good day, that they're hamper bound.
Mm-hmm.
You can't turn them inside out and wear them the next day.
Not like
me.
You do. No.
Hmm.
No.
So my whole thing with underpants is if they're dry, they're good. You know?
By the time they dry, they're good?
By the time they're dry, they're back to good. Although, I got to tell you, and Drew, as you know, I'm not a funky guy at all.
Yeah.
I'm not a funky guy, but that area.
Got the funk?
The sack.
Oh, the sack's got the funk.
The sack has the funk.
Could it be the paper mache casing you built around it with the talc that you...
I haven't. That's my problem. I haven't used enough talc.
There could be some funky smell coming from your job. I'm not kidding you.
Who is that?
That's Perry Farrell.
Okay.
Alex?
Yeah.
Who has a combination of, you know, sounding crazy, sounding gay, and sounding like a genius all at the same time?
Perry Farrell, there you go.
No,
and not maybe not being any of those things, by the way, but still sounding more like those three things than almost anybody. Alex?
Yeah.
23, what's up?
Well, for the past couple of years, I've had a pretty mean painkiller addiction. And I've tried to quit like a couple different times. All of it ends up just, you know, me going back.
Give me the pill, Skipper.
What do you mean? You've been treated a couple of times?
Pardon?
You've been treated a couple of times?
No, I've tried doing it on my own.
Okay, without treatment, impossible that you would use the alpha. It just does not exist in nature. It just doesn't exist in nature. That's the way it is. You could switch to something else. People sometimes deal with it
by switching
over to pot or alcohol, but you know where you can stay abstinent without treatment.
Mm. Yeah, every time in the past that I've tried, I end up, just getting extremely sick,
Even if you could get through the withdrawal, which no one ever does as an outpatient, in my experience, even if you get through that, you still would go back 100% of the time.
So what is there that I can do to...
You have to go to a hospital and get treated. It's a serious condition. They will treat your addiction. It's going to take a few weeks and you're going to have to make this a priority in your life for the next 6 months or so. It's a big deal.
Really?
It's a hard disease. It's the worst form of addiction. It's opiate addiction. And it takes many months to treat effectively. Not that you can't work or anything during this time, but you have to have the treatment as the priority and the focus in your life for a while.
Yeah. What's the worst addiction to try to beat?
Opiates.
Painkillers. Mm. Easiest to get going on, too, right?
Yeah. It's so simple.
Unknowingly.
Well, there's a couple things that happen. There's the unknowing version, which is, I just had a knee pain, or I broke my knee, and all of a sudden, 3 weeks later, I seemed to be taking more than I was supposed to, and I was bugging my doctor for more. I had pain. What are you
going
to do?
You can get going with these things in a week, right?
Yeah, 2 weeks, really, is what it takes to really get going.
Right.
Unless you're an opiate addict already. Then you can get going in a couple of days. But if you've never been an opiate addict before and you get going with it, and it's just after all, I'm just trying to control my pain. But most opiate addicts will tell you that even when they were focused on the pain, they had a sense that, boy, man, that just stuff made things feel just okay. Everything was okay now.
Yeah. Well, even non-addicts seem to, except for me, get their kicks out of the Vicodin and stuff.
If you get kicks, you got to be careful.
Well, I don't mean kicks. I just mean, here's the thing. You're in pain. This puts you out of your pain. You're going to like whatever that is. Mm-hmm. More than just putting it out of your pain. It's going to be a friend to you. I mean, it will soothe you in a sense. I mean, it's not just erasing the pain. Think of what it means symbolically. You were hurting before you took this magic pill. Now you're not. I mean, psychologically, that's got to have an effect. Moreover than just the pain killing.
It's interesting you put that all together because there is... an activation of the soothing, nurturing part of the brain by the drug, too.
Yeah.
In the addict. Well, so the fact that you put it all together that way kind of scares me.
No, non-addicts. Everybody who tries Vicodin seems to really like it.
No, I hate it.
Well, I don't like it either.
The pain of it made me feel like just S.
Well, I didn't get high.
I'm a little pissed off about
it,
too.
I am, too. I didn't get a good buzz.
Well, not only that, my thing is, what if I ever get cancer and need this stuff? Makes me feel like just holy hell.
I'll give you some morphine. Same thing?
Yeah.
Why do you say everything's the same thing?
Because they're all...
Morphine would probably work on you better than Vicodin.
The difference is the side effects and the duration of action.
Now get on that. I bet you I get you a nice jabby with a nice morphine cactus. Pow, right in the ass.
Hell,
you'd love it. No morphine, no good either.
It made me feel like vomiting.
Well, because you're kind of a lightweight.
Not even lightweight so much. I just feel like S. I have what's called the epsilon receptor, which is the one that makes you feel nausea and like S from these drugs, which makes me mad.
All right. Well, look, maybe I
could feel good too
from
pussies. These things.
I don't know. Just suck on a rag that's been dipped in scotch or something like a newborn. Vicodin's just no fun for me. It doesn't. It makes you feel a little speedy or something. But other than that, it's not a good high. Might as well just go to the park and drink a Mickey's Big Mouth. I'm just angry after the hype. Now, you get me, give me some Valium or something, maybe we can talk. Yeah, now I'm feeling good. Of course, I like the kickstart of just a little bit of scotch. But here's my point. My stepsister is out in Seattle. She had a little, she's 17.
Got some stepsister?
Stepsister. Step-niece.
Okay.
Stepsister's kids. 17. Just got some kind of mysterious illness. I don't even know what it is, but had to take Vicodin for 2 weeks. Now they got to get her off it, and they're not saying it's not in a rehab or something. But you take this Vicodin for a couple weeks. Everyone I know who takes it likes it and doesn't when it's done. And I know Drew, you love to roll your eyes and say, "Oh, everyone's an addict." I don't know anyone who's had it for a period of time. That doesn't miss it when it's time to go away.
That's me. You hang out with anyone who's not an addict?
Shut up, Drew.
Be fair.
But everyone I I know, you jackass.
Well, first
everyone.
First of all.
Everyone.
Not me.
Everyone.
Not
you
me.
Don't like anything because you're a control freak.
Not everyone.
And you can't handle being out of control,
no.
So you go nuts. You can't
oh,
be
no,
altered.
No. Not at
you,
all.
You freak
not at all,
out.
Because the violence,
oh,
the animal stuff,
I'm
that's
talking to you about this.
Wait a minute.
Jesus Christ, we can't have a normal
Wait a minute.
Exchange on this because everyone's an addict.
That's not what I'm saying.
It's all you say. It's all you ever say about this.
You have always said that you hang out with addicts. That's all you've always said.
And I've never said that.
Then you've never said that. That's fine.
I ever hang out is with addicts.
What do you say about you, the guys?
I have one friend who got in trouble with drugs. That's it. Oh, the rest were just jackasses.
Okay, whatever.
Everyone's an addict to you, Drew. These guys drank, they smoked weed, whatever. They're not addicts.
Okay, however you describe it.
Well, your criteria for this is so slim. Your margin is so paper thin that everyone who comes in, everyone you deal with, addict. You don't leave yourself open to anything. It's unrealistic, your criteria.
Let's stay focused. It's not true. Criteria, it affects 10% of people. So it's 1 out of 10.
That's very true with you,
it's Drew. 1 out of 10. It's very common. It has it, and your comment was that everybody loves it. My point was,
yes.
It's unique to the biology of the drug. Some people feel, I had a woman come in sobbing when she takes Vicodin. She feels so dysphoric when she takes it.
It's a profoundly negative
feeling.
Of course, I don't mean every person has ever tried it. Everyone who I talk to has a good experience with it, seems to want more. That's it.
Okay.
Everybody. Why do we have such a huge problem with it? Because nobody likes it? Or everyone's an addict? Which is it? I mean, is everybody an addict?
Where is the problem then with it, with non-addicts?
Everybody who comes across this drug seems to take to it.
If we have a huge problem with it,
Yes.
Who is manifesting the huge problem?
People who ingest the drug.
And become
addicted to it.
That's all I'm saying.
So they're all addicts.
Everyone that becomes addicted is
but somebody who's had no history of, you see, now people haven't had a history of anything for 45 years who bruise a tailbone snowboarding are addicts. Everyone's an addict
now.
Drew, you know you do this. It's ridiculous to have an exchange about it.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
I was taking 18 a day for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was a speed addict before that. I did speed every day for
about
2 years.
Yeah.
And I hate Vicodin now.
Hold on. Who is this?
This is Anderson Jack.
Oh,
You hate Vicodin, but you always talked about how you switch from one to the other, which is what I was telling the other kid he could do.
No,
you could switch.
No, I never switched anything except for like
you
sex and drugs.
Speed to Vicodin.
No, I was taking Vicodin for my back pain because I had a broken back, shattered back.
Right.
And then I hated it, and I stopped taking it, and I stopped taking any kind of drugs after that, because I just hated it.
And then you're not an addict.
That sucks. I always tell people I'm an addict, and I feel good about
myself. But he was a speed addict. What about speed?
Well, the addicts can't stop.
Well, maybe he didn't like Vicodin, but he liked speed.
Well, he stopped speed, though.
Well, it's always a catch-22, because unless you're in the grave, then you're still an addict, according to Drew,
no.
Or you weren't one in the first place because you stopped.
No, the thing is, it's an incipient process, and once it crosses a threshold, the biology is such that you really can't stop.
All right, listen,
and
here's
if you
what
can't
I'm saying.
Stop, you either didn't fully trigger it, or you're not an addict.
I'm saying everybody I know who comes across Vicodin loves it. Doesn't mean they can't stop it. Doesn't mean they get strung out on it. They like it, though.
Mm-hmm.
They do
it for a few weeks,
and at the end of a few weeks, when it's time to stop because their impacted molar's gone away, they miss it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they go out and score at the park, but I can see why so many people get so much momentum going with this drug.
But only addicts get addicted. That's the definition.
Well, okay. All right. There's certain substances that are much more easily... that you can become addicted to much more easily. Don't you agree with that?
Like, what are you thinking of?
Well, everybody who tries this thing is into it. That's what I'm saying.
There are things that are easy.
Well, people don't have that same. They don't have that same thing with heroin.
Next caller, please.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying you take a 14-year-old girl, you give her Vicodin. She wants more Vicodin a week later. It's very easy that way.
And heroin wouldn't do that?
No, I don't think it would. I think she'd vomit and wouldn't want any more of it.
I don't. What do you? Why do you got to do that? What do you put the puss on? I don't understand. I know you're an addiction medicine specialist. On the other hand, I'm always right about everything we argue about every time. Well, why do you do that? What do you? Because I yell at you, and then you get all weird, and you do that little mousy thing with your hands.
There's no point in arguing. You've decided. You're judge and jury, and that's that.
All right. Drew's mad because I was yelling at him. If you turn everyone into an addict, they just stop listening to you. That's all. Mm-hmm. You do that. You decide everyone who comes into your clinic has a history of abuse, and in order to keep that theory correct, then you just turn them all into abuse victims. They're not all necessarily abuse victims or whatever it is. I'm saying you got to stay open, man. All right. Drew's mad.
No, I'm not mad.
I know, but you're pouting.
We're not having a discussion.
Let's have a discussion.
Let's do it off the air.
Let's do it on the air.
All right.
What's your thing? All I'm saying, okay, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
You're entitled to your opinion. That's fine.
All right.
I study this. I deal with it every day.
I know. You get super angry.
Not angry.
No, I know. You're not angry. It's worse than angry. If we were angry, we'd do some decent radio. You're just going to pout about the whole thing. You study this all day long.
All right. Okay.
All right. Now, look. Look, we got to have a discussion about it. But you can't pout. You got to discuss.
What would you like me to say?
I want to discuss Vicodin. My point is it's easier to get addicted to this stuff, or people seem to take to it more easily than they do other forms of drugs. Your thing is then
Vicodin,
they're addicts.
Then heroin?
No, then they're addicts.
Absolutely not. Heroin is... It's one of the few drugs where people.
I'm not comparing it to heroin. I'm just saying other drugs.
Than other drugs, it's easy to get addicted to opiates in general. Vicodin is no different than OxyContin. It's no different than Lortab. These are all the same chemicals.
I'm not drawing a distinction between those, but they don't give those out as readily as they give out the Vicodin.
That's true. And the Vicodin makes people feel good, and it has a propensity to cause euphoria. But the profound euphoria, as it turns out, really only people that are wired as addicts are wired. They have a density of something called the mu receptor in their brain as opposed to the epsilon. They don't need
to be the profound euphoria that just seem to enjoy it.
Yeah, they enjoy it, but that sense of needing more, wanting more, missing it, feeling that intense loss is actually mediated by a part of the brain called the anterior cingulate, which is where your nurturance occurs, where you feel nurturance from your mother. And if people have been traumatized or abandoned or neglected, that part of the brain will be suboptimally developed. And for the first time, when people take something like Vicodin, they will feel nurtured. They will feel loved, literally. And when that's taken away, it is a very profoundly empty feeling. And that is a setup for addiction. If they also then have the gene, it's game on at that point.
Right. But my argument is that people that have not led a life of addiction become addicted to this. Your argument is then they're addicts. Maybe technically they're addicts because they become addicted to something, but they've seen all the other drugs, or many of the other drugs, lived long lives and not had anything take.
So grip, right.
All
it's
of a sudden, a, this grabbed a, hold of them.
Yeah.
Therefore, it's more easily...
It's powerful.
More powerful, more easily addicted.
Oh, realize it is a threshold disease. Until you can't stop, you're still in sort of incipient phases. And then when you can't stop, there are signs like loving it, like being driven to use it again, like feeling the emptiness, like switching over to other things. And by the way, like our caller, which started this whole thing, he couldn't stop. And that defines addiction. You can't stop in the spite of consequences.
I wasn't arguing that he wasn't addicted. Now I'm bored.
Right.
Mina?
Hey.
You're 20?
Hey. Yes, I am.
What's up?
I've been dating my girlfriend for about 4 years coming up in August. And in the beginning of the relationship, we had, like, sex everywhere, you know, anytime. Mm-hmm. And lately, it's been pretty much this whole year. I mean, I still get some, obviously, but I don't really get it that much. And she's always like, oh, well, I'm too tired, or I'm just not horny. I'm not a horny person. And every time I bring it up to her, she's like, well, go find someone else who, you know.
Do you know, Mina, one of the secrets about lesbian relationships that I've often heard about is that it's very, very common for lesbian couples to stop having sex after about 6 months.
Are you serious?
Very common, yeah.
Yeah. Well, not for the dude in the relationship. And that's you.
No.
You're the dude.
In that way, like, I'm more like you know, I kind of control that. Like, I make the first move and all, but it's just like...
No, but she's not... And then the fact that she's a lesbian sort of triggers our spidey senses about there possibly being some abuse and stuff. And so her whole feeling about being sexual is going to be all...
Yeah, see, like, we're bisexual, but I mean...
Yeah, that's even worse. That definitely means abuse.
Well, okay, hold on a second. Here's an interesting question. If somebody's just sort of lesbian from the womb... And not created by some weird uncle to touch him in a pool house. And that's not a euphemism for vagina. That's actual
the place
where behind the pool. If some weird uncle touched them and made them, then they're confused, they're effed up, they're hypersexual, then they become dormant, then they hook up with someone, and then all bets are off.
Right.
If they just came out of the womb lesbian, they just have a regular libido as if they were heterosexual.
Right. Oh, you're saying maybe that's where the thing dies out.
No, I'm saying the one that dies out may have been the one with the uncle.
Yeah, that's
and the
what
one,
I think.
The one that was born a lesbian just has a normal sexual libido, regardless of what her proclivity is.
Possibly.
Mina?
Yeah.
All right, so did she have some abuse?
No, I mean, not that I know of. No, I don't think she has. I mean, neither have I. It's just like, we can have sex, but then she's not horny. But then, like,
she just keeps repeating this over and over again. I think you might want to ask your girlfriend what her upbringing was like. Upbringing was like. I think you'll find an awful lot of chaos there.
I don't know. Hopefully, something gets fixed. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, Mina. Yeah. No, we're not helping you at all.
Well, I just wanted to know, like, what should I do? Because I mean, I'm
all. There's nothing.
There's nothing.
She ain't into it. Well, you guys have been together for 4 years. What's wrong with you? You're bisexual. That's got to mean something.
I've never been with a guy all the way, though, but I know maybe that's what I need to do. I don't know.
Why do you call yourself bisexual?
Because I still like guys. I know in the relationship that I'm in right now is a lesbian relationship, but, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to want to be with her for the rest of my life because I could want to be with a guy.
I know, but well, first off, isn't it weird just being in a relationship and, you know, sort of making the proclamation that you're also into another gender? I mean, you got a 4-year-long relationship. You've never actually even had sex with a guy, but you keep announcing that you're bisexual.
Yeah, holding a sword of Damocles over her head. But listen, right? It's like
It's like me talking about my uncle's opal mine in Australia, and every other month I'm going, I'm going to be heading out there. I'm picking up steaks.
That's your wife. Any day now. Any day.
Yeah. Or just, no, I'm saying, like, if I'm in a heterosexual relationship,
right, and then
it's like,
gonna leave.
Oh, yeah, to your wife. I think I meant heading over there to your wife.
Yeah, how often do you actually have sex with her?
We have sex today, but, I mean, it's like...
Write that down, Adam. You got that? That's how often today.
Well, usually it's like, I'm always
so that's
the giver,
every day.
Never the receiver. That's, if we do, I'm always the giver.
Yeah, but
you don't receive...
At all?
I mean, it's rare. She's always like, I'm too tired, or... I mean, I admit you do get kind of like somewhat off doing it to someone else or whatever, but it's just
Adam?
Like.
Maybe she should loosen the strap up on the.
No, this is
oral. Oh, this is oral. Right. Oh, okay. Jeez, I'm confused. Because sometimes the belt needs to be adjusted.
How
often?
It's like
a diving mask, you know, when it gets. You put like your cousin's head and then they put it on your.
It rips off.
Yeah, it doesn't fit right.
How often do you do actually have sex?
I can say maybe twice. A month, if I'm lucky.
And how often is she giving to you?
Maybe one time every 3 months or something.
Month.
All right, she's shut down. You guys have been together for 4 years. That's enough. You've been together since you were 16. That's enough. If they were heterosexual, we'd be telling them, are you kidding me? This is done. You've been together since the 10th grade.
Yeah.
Now you're, you know, two years into college. Let's go.
Yeah.
Go your separate ways.
That's right.
Fine. Break it off.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Carly is on the phone. She's 18. She lost her virginity to a random guy. Lost Prophet's going to be in here tomorrow night, by the way. And then Thursday night, Steve-O and Chris Pontius are going to be here, though Drew won't be here because he's decided this is Wednesday.
Yeah, hey, Drew, why is it that when you rub your balls while you're jerking off that it feels so much better?
Steve-O. With the intellectual erudition.
He's a raconteur. Crank Yanker's on tonight. Yeah, there's about 40 seconds left in the show.
Hey, I heard they put the,
forgot
CD,
about that.
The CD out with the, or DVD out with the one we did.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
No, we got to take a look at that.
Yeah.
All right.
Dr. Drew in the hizzy. Cool.
Carly?
Yes.
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
About a week and a half ago, I had sex with a random boy. And I just realized tonight I have, like, a blister-like thing on my vagina, and I was wondering what it is.
Wow. Either I'm in love or there's wind chimes in the background.
Oh. It's really
please
windy
tell me
out
you heard
here.
That, otherwise I'm in love.
It's really windy out here, sorry.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. I...
Well,
stop talking, Carly. Hold on a second.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's hear those wind chimes.
Oh, you want to hear the wind chimes?
Wow.
Sounds like, you know, Mr. Wizard is out there, you know.
Why don't you head back? Are you smoking?
Yeah. You want me to go inside?
Yeah.
Well, you can finish your butt.
Okay. I'll go inside right now.
All right. Head inside if it's windy.
Okay. Inside.
Okay. So you lost your virginity a week ago, and now you have a blister on your vagina?
Yeah.
Blisters or herpes if they burn?
It doesn't burn.
It might yet open up ulcerate when it does start hurting.
Well,
so we'll see.
What, did you guys, who was the guy?
I met him at my work. I kind of knew of him. He works at a local tattoo parlor.
Sure.
Oh, that guy. That guy would, how could a guy like that have herpes? No way.
Tattoo guy?
No.
No,
yeah.
No way.
No way, Carly. Where do you work? What kind of work?
A restaurant.
Restaurant. Mm-hmm. Guy doesn't work at the restaurant, though.
So he came in there.
Came into the bar drinking. I get my piercings done there.
Oh, my God.
What kind of piercings?
Oh, I have 14 different piercings.
Yeesh. You're 18.
Yeah. Well, most of them are on my ears.
Mm-hmm.
I have my nipples done and stuff like mm-hmm. that.
And clitoris.
Mm-hmm. All right. And you were a virgin with pierced nipples.
I was.
With pierced nipples?
Yes.
I just mean it puts you in very rarefied air.
Do you have pierced tongue?
No.
No.
Mm. Okay. All right, so maybe you have herpes.
Okay.
You didn't use protection, right?
No, we did not.
What, are you worried about getting pregnant?
I actually went to Planned Parenthood a couple days after.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did not pull out.
And you
didn't I also had another question. I took it. You know how you're supposed to take it 73 hours later? I
73?
Took it about 78 hours later.
Yeah, it's not obviously as effective as if you take it within the 72-hour window that it's designed for.
Yeah, she gives an hour buffer.
But it has been shown to show some effect up to 5 days, believe it or not. But
wow.
Listen.
Drew, wait a minute. Let me do the math. A day is 24 hours and 33 minutes long, right?
Of course.
Times 3 days.
There you go.
73.
But, Carly, get back to Planned Parenthood. You really want to go now while there's a lesion there because herpes is primarily a diagnosis made by inspection or by clinical appearance. And so get somebody to look at that thing and see if that's what they think it is.
Okay.
But, you know, good times.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah. And by the way, it's been a while. Was he told to pull out or is that an unspoken?
He was
told.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a rape at that point?
He was told before...
During.
He was told during.
Yes.
Oh, to pull out.
Yes. That guy's all class.
And he never did.
No, he did not.
Yeah. Okay. And he didn't even, sometimes you make that sort of feeble attempt to pull out, where it's really nothing but, the caboose comes out of the train tunnel. You know what I mean? The engine and the dining car.
It's all going in.
It's all going through. And then at the very end, you pull out and there's just the caboose of the jizz train. Comes out the tunnel. That's what I call poor form.
Yeah.
You know, because they had a verbal agreement.
Absolutely.
A verbal contract.
Yeah, I think it's
will you
it's
pull
right.
out? Yeah. Well, also, by the way, I know the guy's a Nimrod and he's working at a piercing place and stuff. But what's your plan? Like,
yes.
Like, she gets pregnant.
Then what?
She says her parents found out. There's no way they're going for the abortion. You just got a kid. Now you're 21. You just got a kid floating around.
This is that crazy effed up thinking that people have. It's like no consequence. I bet.
Yeah.
It's whatever.
Yeah. Khalib?
Caleb.
You guys have totally messed me up over the past few years because I realized that...
You're gay.
No.
Please.
The crazier the girls are, the better they are in bed, the more drama they've had in the past.
Yep, that's true.
And the more drama they'll produce for you in the present.
Right, but they're the best in bed, so...
Yeah. But, you know, once in a while you can find yourself just a good straight gal who's doesn't have a whole bunch of baggage, who just sort of, you know, got a little guy in her. Kind of likes to get it on.
Well, that's my problem. I just moved out to Los Angeles from upstate New York, and I need to know how to meet these West Coast chicks. What's your advice, Adam?
Well, you can't sound so gay.
No.
What did you come out here for, to act?
No, just for fun. Got a job.
He's gay. What kind
Drew,
of job?
Please.
What kind of job you do?
Getting people coffee.
You work in a coffee? And it, so you just uprooted and moved out here?
No, I'm a PA.
Oh, okay, wait a minute. You're PA or you work at a coffee shop?
No, I'm a PA, but one of the wonderful duties is getting coffee.
Oh, I see. You work in the movie industry.
Right.
And what are you working on?
I don't know if I'm at liberty.
All right. He didn't want to say. That's fine. Listen, everybody, you don't have to tell me anything you don't want to tell me, but I'm going to hang up immediately. And I know people get into that like, well, I really don't want to say how much I work. Here's the deal. If I ask, that means I want to know. If you don't want to say, that's your prerogative. I now will hang up before you get into not saying what it is.
I think you would give people a beat if they said, no, Adam, please don't make me tell you. You'd give them that beat.
Maybe.
But that's it.
Maybe. Nothing in it for me and Caleb, though. And by the way, L.A.'s crowd enough and packed full of a-holes. We don't need any more troublemakers out here. We got jackasses coming from all directions. And here's my thing. You know what I want to treat L.A. like? I want to treat it like a club. You know the big black bald guy in the front? He's wearing the black blazer. He's got the clicker. Got the clicker because the fire marshal's going to come by.
Right.
Click, 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 click.
Yeah.
Then you start coming in. Ho, ho, ho.
You want to be
where
that
you going?
Guy.
Yeah. Hey, where are you going? I'm going in a club. Yeah. Maximum capacity for this club is, well, we're at it. So here's what we're going to have to do. Hold up. We got to wait till somebody leaves. Now, if you're a guy like Caleb and you're living in upstate New York and you want to come over here, you got to find another 23-year-old a-hole to go to upstate
and
New York.
Him. And kill him.
Well, you could kill him, or I would recommend just sending him to upstate New York.
Sure.
It's a sort of a prisoner exchange program.
Perfect.
You got to get out of here.
Yeah.
We got to make room in the club.
Absolutely.
Fire marshal's going to close the place down. And by the way, the city, no different than any other space, if you really think about it. It's like, look, this thing was built to hold this many people, and we got this many. There's trouble. It's like those prisons. They build those prisons. Oh, we hold them to hold 2,500 inmates. Oh, it seems huge. Yeah. Problem is, we got 4,000, and they're all on top of each other now. And now there's trouble.
Yeah, there's fighting. Of course.
Yeah. All right. That's all I want L.A. to be. Is it really just every a-hole from every part of the country is to just come here, nail our chicks, and sit on our beaches and clog our freeways?
I think the freeways are really the problem.
Rape our women and rape our diamond lane?
Yeah, rape your left turn lanes.
But look, why can't we... I know it's a political thing, but when one city becomes more crowded than other cities and has little troubles with the infrastructure and things like that, can we sort of say, look, we're going to have to give some incentives to...
How about giving people like some sort of entrance fee?
Yeah.
To move here.
Or at least an exam or something.
To support the infrastructure.
Yeah, here's the deal. If this was an apartment, we don't need any more of your stoner friends flopping on our futon. This is what L.A. is, and because of the weather, it's like people come down here with 50 cents in their pocket driving a moped thinking, I'll just crash out at my buddy's for a few weeks, and I'll catch on somewhere. And then next thing you know, I'm behind the a-hole on the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's work this out, Drew. Too many people in the club. Where's my big, bald, black guy with the clicker?
It's you.
That clicker thing.
It's you.
And by the way, if I was doing that clicker thing in front of some club, how long would it take for me to screw that up?
Three people.
Yeah. Be like, hold on, wait a minute.
Which one did I push?
3,333 people. I can't. There's only three people in there. I'm gonna have to recalibrate this thing. Sarah.
Yeah.
The umpires use something like that for balls and strikes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it's always like, hey, listen, Pops, you can't keep track of this? The guy in center field 350 feet away knows what the count is. You figure it out, can't you? It's not that fast a game. It's oftentimes like 20 minutes in between pitches. One ball, one strike. It's confusing. Now there's two balls. I don't know what I'm doing.
You can point out and go, see, yeah, this is what it says.
People let you know if you screw it up. There'll be enough people.
It's true.
Sarah?
Yes.
You're 24?
Yes.
Go ahead.
So I have hemorrhoids, and I'm having them treated with infrared coagulation or something like that.
Yikes.
Nice.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, why? No. No,
well,
here.
Because I can't have bowel movements. Like, I don't have... It's ridiculous how long... Well, not that I always sit on the pot long, but nothing comes out, and I am, like, gaining weight because I eat food, like breakfast, lunch, dinner, not excessively or anything, but...
Hold on. What were those meals again?
Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
All right. How in that order?
Generally.
Okay.
Where did you learn that?
All right, and from some crazy country.
Yeah.
You eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you don't have a bowel movement.
Well, no, I go, but I don't go enough. I don't think that I go regularly and definitely not healthy. Like, I'm not enough is coming out for what is going in.
How many, first off, do you weigh it going each direction?
No, but I know. I can feel okay. It.
I know what you're saying. All right, and how many, Anderson hates Duke talk, but I love it, and so does Drew. And how often do you have a bowel movement?
A good one?
Give me anything above a five.
God. Maybe every 3 days.
That's
and I
God.
Take fiber.
Yeah, what's
no,
that?
How often do you have, forget the good one, how often do you have a bowel movement? Not a trick question.
Hopefully.
All right. Hopefully.
Sarah is a mess.
Oh, my God. We'll get back to Sarah. Okay, here's first off, how many goddamn minutes do I have to spend trying to figure out how often she has a bowel movement? It's like, I have a bowel movement. Well, a good one.
A big
or,
growler.
You know, I mean, there's 4th of July, and then there's just, you know, Monday sometime in August. You know what I'm saying? You mean a good one? You mean colossal, because I've had some doozies in my day. Just a bowel movement. How
big
often
a caliber
do you
talk about?
I'll tell you how often I'd like to have a bowel movement. Yeah. And by the way, the answer of like whether it's how often you have a bowel movement or how often you effing your wife or when's the last time you got a raise shouldn't be met with what you would like it to be.
Yeah, it shouldn't also be, well, it depends what you mean. Let me think about it. It's just
right.
Like, what is it?
Right. And by the way, nobody spends more time thinking about their anus than Sarah. You should have these kind of numbers at the tip of your tongue.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Drew's thinking what I'm thinking, which is there's problems down here, but there's also some obsession going on in that area.
There's also disorganization and fragmentation. That's why she can't answer simple questions.
Right.
It goes... She sounds like your stalker, Drew.
Ooh. Forgot about Drew's stalker. Let's take ourselves a little break. I'm going to come back with Sarah because I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
I like a woman with an unsure bowel, you know? Mm-hmm. Possibly irritable.
And hemorrhoids.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Doc Drew. This is my song. Ladies hear this song when I'm heading into the bar, walking in slow motion, boots moving. Looking like John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever, you know,
that's
but with
the image
slicker.
You have in your head.
Slicker, yeah. It's
in
a,
your
it's
mind.
A slicker look than that.
Yeah.
I agree. But as I look down, you know, I look over my sunglasses, hot chick, bartender gives me one of these, you know, gives me the fist, you know. She knows what I'm drinking because I got a drink, you know what I'm saying?
And
I'm moving in slow motion.
Jeez.
And everyone knows. I mean, guys looking up from the pool table, hot chick, men fear me, women. Lust after me.
And the bartender,
yeah.
The guys at the pool table,
yeah,
and the women who lust.
It. Yeah.
See this.
No. I refuse to believe that this is what they hear.
It's what they see. Wow, whatever happened to them? Remember those two?
Those two twins?
Yeah.
Well, didn't I get in a huge fight with those two twins?
Yeah, as I recall.
Yeah, Anderson is yelling something at me. The two twins.
No, we're talking
about the two twins who laughed.
Who laughed like that. It used to be, what's his name's girlfriend.
Oh, that was before I was even here.
Yes, long before
that
you
was
were
a,
here.
That was Nelson.
Nelson. The Nelson twins.
Oh,
the
Nelson.
Nelson twins.
But it was they had a tape of...
Wait a minute. Was that before you were there, Anderson?
No, actually, they were on after that, but that's not the girl that laughed. That has nothing to do with it. But
I
they're
know
the ones...
I know Anderson was there because I was making fun of those girls for dating Nelson when Anderson played,
right,
the tape,
played the tape. About
and I thought, no, that Engineer Mike would have never done that kind of backstabbing.
Oh, you're a dick.
It had to be
you're
Anderson.
A dick.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
Nelson's the one that used to babysit me, and they gave me acid when I was like 11 years old.
Really?
Yes, yes. That's
that explains a lot.
A lot.
How dare you, Drew?
How come you never told us about
I did.
Nelson?
I totally
giving you acid?
They gave me acid when I was 11, yes.
You never told us that piece.
It's all over the internet, so I know I did.
What about the...
What's all over the internet?
That story, because I was asked about it on the street by a friend who I hadn't seen in a long time. They're like, you never told me about that. And I read about that on the internet. And I'm like, oh, wow, I guess I talked about it. I didn't know.
Maybe this is all part of the acid trip.
Maybe
me saying this is part of the acid trip is part of the acid trip.
It's triggered.
Yeah. You could be at home right now.
Charlie Sheen used to date that, remember?
Charlie Sheen? Charlie Sheen dated everybody.
Yeah. But remember they had tapes of him or something? Remember that weird...
I do remember, but there were two hot twins that were so obnoxious, I was going to toss them out. I was yelling at them to get out of the studio.
Yeah.
I can't remember why they were so obnoxious. One of them kept yelling at me or interrupting or something. I can't remember why it is we didn't get along very well, but at a certain point, I was actually screaming at her to leave, and I don't think she ever did. It was just uncomfortable. It was good times. And the following night, Nelson came in, and then Anderson played the tape of me saying, "Who are you dating?" And she said, "I'm going out with Gunnar Nelson or one of the Nelsons." And I started laughing, going, "Those two washed up guys. What are you doing, wasting your time with them?"
Oh yeah,
that's two Barbie twins. Yeah, they're not even doing. What are they doing? Working at Arby's or something? And then. Played the tape. Very uncomfortable, by the way, when they're sitting in front of
it. It was something. You're so screwed up, dude.
Very uncomfortable.
No, that's you're the one who did the acid. No, that's not what happened. No.
I didn't
do that. I don't remember this couple you're talking about, these twins.
Did Mike do it?
Whatever. Yeah, it must have been Mike. I remember.
Could have been Mike.
It could have been, because I remember that happening. That's definitely what happened.
Yeah, it was One Nut.
Or maybe Ann?
Yeah. One Nut was jealous of the twins.
Could have been Ann. Always could have been Ann. All right, that's enough of you. Eugene?
Yeah, whatever.
And by the way, Bal Chick dropped off in the middle of our Nelson conversation. So we never did get to the bottom of her record.
So to speak.
Eugene?
Yeah.
You're 25.
Yeah.
You masturbate 15 times a week.
Maybe about 10.
10? All right. Not a big problem. 10 times a week for a 25-year-old?
One and a half times a day, basically.
Yeah,
basically.
It's a little light of that, but nothing wrong with that. I don't know how he works the half out. I just go ahead and do a hole and then maybe take the next one off.
Right, he has a three-dayer.
Right. But are you having some irritation?
Yeah, it looks like I'm getting, rough burn. Okay, you know when a guy gets circumcised and there's all that fleshy tissue right below the head, and it's not as smooth as the rest of the shaft, but that fleshy tissue. Now, all that seems to be getting all reddened and spots and stuff now. It's not herpes or anything. I've checked into that. But it seems like it always seems to hurt after I masturbate. It starts getting red again, and I wonder if I'm squeezing too hard, if I'm not using the right stuff. You know, I don't know what it is, and I don't know
All right. By the way, people talking like... if they stop moving their mouth, a spike is going to hit them in the ear or something.
Right.
I got that fleshy skin you have at the end of your penis. I'm not going to stop and talk with it because I use the KY. But I checked into the herpes. That I don't know. It's like, all right, just hold on.
So he has some irritation. There
he has irritation.
Stop using whatever he's
beating
using.
Off quite a bit.
Maybe it checked into the herpes, but that's a very hard thing to diagnose sometimes.
Well, here's the thing. Once you give your penis half a day off.
Yeah.
I was going to say a day off, but half a day off would be a 50% improvement.
And don't use whatever lubricants you've been using. Use something else.
Use something else and let it, don't use Prowl.
Maybe dry.
Don't use Prowl.
Can you imagine that?
Try dry. Do not use Prowl. And let me tell you something about you dry guys. Smart. The lube guys, you'll be a slave to the lube. You will become a slave to lube.
So basically, you get dry, you can go anywhere.
It becomes like you're a smoker, and everything's great. Then you got to get a 14-hour flight to Taipei, and all of a sudden you're going nuts because you got to have a cigarette in your hand. That's what the lube is. You become a slave to the lube.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, you got to start bringing it with you. You're going camping. You're going in for a long office meeting or something. You know, you got a long day. It's finals at school, whatever. Yeah, got to bring the lube. Gotta bring the lube. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. Chris, he knows what I'm talking
about.
Bring
the lube, Chris.
But he has lube hidden between his car and the studio in case he has to stop. Yeah, it's only 200 feet, but he's actually stashed lube.
Yeah, that's tough.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Lost Profits in tomorrow night. And then Steve O. And Chris Pontius will be in here on Thursday night. All right, Drew. Let's go to the phones and speak to Holly, who's 21. Holly?
Hi.
What's doing?
I have a question. I had an abortion about 3 years ago when I first barely turned 18. I had kind of a few complications, and basically what my question is
Wait. What were the complications?
What happened was, they told me, you know, all the stuff not to do, you know, no heavy activity. I had it done. 2 days later, I went to San Diego to visit a friend, and I was totally fine. There was no bleeding, anything. And then they didn't tell me that I shouldn't be drinking, right? And it was New Year's Eve. And I had, like, one beer. And the next day, it was, like, major bleeding, okay? And my friend had just had a baby, so she was really freaking out because there was, like, big, huge blood clots. So I called...
Hold on, that wasn't drinking.
That wasn't the alcohol.
I wasn't drinking the beer.
Not a beer. Now, if you had a bottle of tequila, maybe.
Yeah, no, I didn't even have... I drank a whole beer.
It wasn't... All right.
That's nothing to do with it.
By the way, listen, everybody, please, all that stuff, you know, half a beer, you know... Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
I mean, all the guys who can't get a boner because they smoke cigarettes and they're 19, it's not that.
No, that's right.
It's just not.
That's right.
And all that stuff is bad for you, and
I wish I could tell them it's that.
And
it's all
that stuff, and as a society, we keep doing that.
You will get there.
When you're 51, you will have a problem with it.
That's right.
You're half a beer now. I'm not going
to
do anything.
I thought of something I wanted to bring up as an alternative topic here for one quick second. Bill O'Reilly tonight was talking about Angelina Jolie and her, you know, United Nations thing. And,
mm-hmm.
and he goes, you know, I tried to get on the show to explain to me what she does.
United Nations?
Yeah, she won't do it.
She looks for landmines.
And not only that, what he said, what can I do to help you in your job?
Right.
Won't do it.
Won't come on the show.
Because.
Why?
She doesn't do anything.
Oh, Drew.
What does this
have to do with an abortion?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring this topic up. Do you remember when we had the model for Planned Parenthood who testified in front of Congress?
Yes.
And she couldn't tell us anything about Planned Parenthood?
No. And she actually got angry when I suggested maybe she should know something about whatever the
topic
she was talking about was.
The people are beginning to see through this business of using a celebrity veil or shroud to sort of use them as some sort of marketing ploy when they actually don't do anything.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. But she's hot.
Yeah, it's all right. That's it. That's all you need to know.
I'm into her. All right.
Really? Are you really?
Well, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Takes a big man to admit he wants to F Angelina Jolie, but count me amongst those men. Big old puffy lips. I mean, the only thing I don't like about her is she's got that big mouth.
Mm.
And, you know.
With the little, it might make it look a little smaller.
Like I'm ringing a dinner bell, you know, the triangle. I don't want oral to look like I'm playing a triangle. Do you know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
I want that little Bernadette Peters mouth, you know. Yeah. It looks like I use a shoehorn to get it around my skinny penis.
Yeah. That'd be good.
Okay. Let's get back to the phones.
All right, so Holly.
Uh-huh.
So far, nothing you've said has anything to do... You don't even sound like you've had a complication yet. You just had some post-op bleeding.
I called the place, and they just basically, I don't know if they told me to come in, but it stopped the next day.
And so you didn't come in?
Yeah, and then, but see, they had told me to go to the local place in San Diego.
Holly, you're fine. So there was no other problems besides the bleeding, right?
Right.
Okay, so there you go. No problem.
Okay.
Is that
it? All right, that's it. Well, she drank half that Heineken 3 years ago, Drew.
Yeesh.
All right. I always liked the idea of the self-destruct in the spaceships.
Yeah.
And I always liked the idea of there's no putting them back.
Yeah, it's always, yeah. That's the one thing.
They activated the sequence. Can't put that back.
That is the one thing you'd want to have irreversible.
Seems like some crew member went wacko on you and just went over and threw a few toggle switches.
You'd want it to go all the way
through. Ships worth several billion dollars. Huh. Seems like you want to be able to go ahead and reverse that project. Mm. I always like the verbal countdown, too. And it's the hot chick who does
overhead,
it. You know?
Yeah.
1 hour until self-destruct. It's not some guy.
Yeah, or it's not some computer.
How about
just a
countdown? We need the guy talking? We need the hot sort of English chick explaining to us how. 30 seconds left. It's always, it makes for good movies, but I got to believe if I'm building a craft that's worth billions of dollars, I'm going to have a little override for the self-destruct in case something happens and it gets tripped.
That's the ship talking to you. See, that's her.
The ship.
That's
her. The ship's
that's she.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Very symbolic.
This
Let me say something else.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
The other thing, I got a little, speaking of goodbye, phones. The phones, you start dialing, there's a different area code for every number now.
Yeah.
Everybody you know, it's a guy could live next door to you. He has a different area code than you have out here in Los Angeles. Again, too many a-holes pouring into this part of the country. This is just another one of those many inconveniences we have to do. You people who are listening in South Dakota, you don't have to deal with the prefix all the time.
The state has a prefix.
Yeah, and what you don't realize is if you got to memorize someone's number, it's not a 7-digit number; it's a 9-digit, 10-digit number that you got to memorize, and it gets a little confusing. And there's more and more and more of them. But anyway, I find myself, and then everyone's fax number's right above their whatever number. So when I'm dialing someone's number, it's like, and then you get the ones where you're trying to spell stuff out. And this is how I know I'm a retard. It's like 1-800 Big Jugs, and so it's like 1-800.
Where's the B? Where's
one,
the B?
Okay, two. Okay, B. And then that thing comes in. You spent too much time.
Yes.
And I realize I've been getting burned a lot on that lately. Like, I'm doing a lot of starting to dial someone's number and then looking at the other thing and then looking back and it goes off. It's like, no, you spent. It doesn't tell you the time.
Yeah, you
it
have,
should tell you should, the time.
That's where the English chick's voice should.
Just you should jump in and go.
You have 12 seconds left.
I'm still looking for the I in big. That's one of you. No, you know what you got to do? You do the whole dialing. Then you hold it up to your ear like a retard. Then it tells you. You took too much time dialing the phone. And I think to myself.
Or because.
They give you about. Horrible. It must be about 3 or 4 seconds. Maybe it's 5 seconds. Let's give us 10. What's going on? I can't look at the phone for a second. I'm going to take a little contemplation before I continue dialing the numbers. I don't know. I've been burned by this like 20 times the last 2 days. Oh, you know, yeah. What it is I keep trying to dial. I look for numbers on my cell phone to dial on my home phone, and I'm holding it up, and I'm trying to get it in the light, and I'm dialing it and whatever, and I always run out of time, but it doesn't tell you until you're done. Am I the only one that this happens to?
Oh, no, I hate that.
And while, give us a couple seconds. I don't know what it is. I think it must be about 5 seconds, maybe four.
Four.
Well, yeah. Give us a little more. Give us a little more. And here's the other one too. When the phone rings and we do get the disconnected number and we got that guy telling us we dialed the wrong number, don't give us the crazy fax chime in the ear before the thing. Don't punish us.
Just, we had some guy call in once and tell us what that was about, why they had to put that
he
in
gave there. Us some half-assed answer about otherwise people would be able to do something.
No, I thought it was some electronic issue.
It was. Yeah. It was, but some people could get away with something somehow. All I'm saying is you got the guy in L.A. It's a brother, by the way. Drew, you know the guy I'm talking about?
Yep.
He's definitely black.
Yeah, I've talked to him many times.
Yeah, I talked to him like twice a week. He's a black guy. I like to talk to this guy. He's a local celebrity. He's keeping it real. The point is I don't need the crazy ear-piercing sound and the voice. I just need the voice. Yeah, I don't need that. I just need the guy going, you made the wrong number. And by the way, if he's telling me I've dialed the wrong number, I'll take his word for it. I'm not going to start arguing with him.
Then they have, they also have a repetitive, crazy, busy signal sound. It's not busy signal. It's that, not that benign one.
Yeah.
It's that aggressive one.
Right. Yeah. Oh, my God. I got a fax machine the other day. I was almost going to kill myself. I had post-traumatic stress disorder the entire goddamn day. I'm just saying, I do I have to be punished when we pick up the phone?
Bitch.
Do we need that crazy? Like, this is what you do if you're... Why don't you just get one of those boat air horns and just do it into us?
Yeah.
All right. And please, anyone listening who has to do with these phones, give us more than just a heartbeat to dial the phone before you go south. Sometimes I find myself just dialing. I start dialing, and I look at it for a minute, and I go, huh. And then I dial, and then it's done. I got to dial again. Or tell us when we do it. The second you've gone, hey, if you've gone, used too much time, that's the time we need to know. Drew's with me. Chris, you with me? You have no idea what I'm talking about.
Chris still thinking about that lube problem. He's trying to decide what to do next.
Well, Chris has said, told me during the break he's moving up to a good multigrade.
Really?
Yeah.
Some synthetic?
A synthetic multigrade, like a 2050. Chris, engineer Chris.
Chris can't look you in the eye when you're talking about
it. Well, he beats,
he has trouble looking at you.
Chris says he uses a good synthetic. He'll go with a good 30 weight during the summer, wow, or during the winter months. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
when
yeah,
it's a little colder and it becomes a little more viscous. During the driving season or the jacking season, as
he
calls
dry.
It.
He goes dry.
He'll go dry just in like May, and then he'll step into a good multigrade, 2050.
Yeah, we're here.
Like I said, he's looking at synthetics. He's also he's looking for a sponsor to step up, and he's even thinking about additives. Andrew,
yeah,
you're 16.
Yeah, I had a question. I heard somewhere from a friend that you guys have like said something about vitamins that you can take to help straighten out your penis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you've got a little curvature, a little Peyronie's type syndrome, which is a scarring on one side or the other, or top or bottom, that pulls the penis in that direction.
Which way does yours go?
To the right, since I started.
You can take about 800 units of vitamin E a day. That's thought to be helpful, at least.
Vitamin E?
800 units, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Well, it kind of twists. It doesn't really curve.
Twist.
Like wow.
A corkscrew?
Wow.
What do you mean twist?
Like a pig style.
Ooh. Is that what you mean?
What?
What do you mean? You mean?
Yeah, it means twist.
But you mean it's straight and it's just like a candy cane?
A little bit, yeah.
Or I mean, twist like a pig's tail?
Not extremely.
Well, the head of the penis.
It's
this is going to be
a little bit cockeyed, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
If it was... well, you got both words in there, really. Because I'm picturing looking at it, you know, up close.
It's cockeyed.
Okay, I'm going to try this one.
Yeah.
Let's just say it was a clock.
And the face of the clock is you looking down the face of the...
Yeah, well, let's just say most penises that went straight out, it was just 12 noon. Yes?
Yeah.
What time would it be on your penis?
Probably the 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock.
The urethra's twisted.
So that means it would twist to the left.
A little bit.
About 3 o'clock would be a quarter turn.
Yeah.
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 But there's no directionality.
No, it's just straight. It's like somebody grabbed it and started twisting it.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Have a good times.
All right. How's the urine stream treating you?
Sometimes it squirts to the side, but
yeah, it's everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Do you have a gal pal?
Couple.
No.
Mr. Dynamite.
No.
I can see with that personality. Couple. All right, let's speak to Joe. Never heard the twisted penis
that
way.
No, that's an interesting one.
Joe.
Hello? Hey.
You're 17.
Yeah.
What's up, Joe?
Well, the thing is, I'm about 6'7" and 340 pounds. And I was wondering, because I've listened to you guys before, and you've been saying stuff about genetic predisposition before. And
you're
I was
fat.
Wondering,
true, please. Go ahead.
And?
And I was wondering what that could have to do with me, or is that what I have, or is it just because, you know, I have a weight problem?
Well, look, if you're 17 and you're 6'7", and you're coming close to 350.
That's not your diet.
That's
so
you.
Much. That's you. Yeah.
That's you.
Yeah, but now, what do you want to get to? 280, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Just, you know, not have man boobs.
And what happens when you try to lose weight?
It just doesn't work out. I mean, I went to the gym for about 2 months before, and I didn't notice any difference. I mean, I think I dropped about 5 pounds, and that was it.
Right.
No, you have to change your diet. Yeah. You have to dramatically
clip
reduce
your toenails. You lose 5 pounds. That size.
I've been doing some interviewing with people that lose dramatic amounts of weight, and I have found something terribly interesting that I didn't expect, which is they each get to a point
where they start doing crack.
No, where they get disgusted. Mm-hmm. They experience disgust at themselves or how they look, or the struggles they've had. They just get disgusted, and at the point at which they actually experience disgust, they can make change.
Mm-hmm.
They go ahead and tolerate the hunger, and they really reduce the calories rather substantially.
Yeah,
and things take care of themselves. But you're going to be hungry for a few months.
Well, what about that Dr. Phil? He's got a book. He's a genius. That boy.
He's a jackass.
Oh, well, he tells you got to stop eating so much.
He's good.
Exercising.
Well, look at him. He's not real tone either.
So he goes 255, 260. What? But he's got such a huge brain. You know, you have to have... let me tell you something. When you've got a brain the size of a vase, you have to have a pedestal that's sturdy enough to hold it up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, are your parents big?
No, not really.
No, they're pretty not tall?
Oh, yeah. Well, my dad's 6'5", my mom's 5'11", but they're not overweight.
Do you play... you don't play football?
I'm going to next year, yeah.
You'll lose some weight there, but... Now,
by the way, you're going to next year. You're 17.
Yeah.
You're going to play football? You're
never played
before? 6'7", 300?
I played it once in middle school, and I just didn't like it that much, but everybody's saying I need to because they have nobody on the team, I guess. So they just take one look at me, and everybody's like, hey, you should play.
What do you mean you didn't like it so much? It's hard for me to imagine that.
I played it, and it wasn't really fun, but... You know, I need to lose
neither
weight.
Adam or I can process that.
Well, football's not really fun. It's just sort of challenging and rewarding and whatever, visceral or something.
It's
you like it. Well, but it's like, I don't know, effing isn't fun,
yes,
per
it
se.
Is. Yes,
well,
it
Drew is.
Is
a man of exquisite passion. But, I don't mean fun, you know. I'm saying, like, even paintball. It's not fun.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but it's
not fun to get shot, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
No, it's fun. That's an interesting thing. We differ on this. What is fun to you then?
Football is intense, but it's sort of rewarding.
It is intense.
But first off, football practice is
not
nothing but
not
running in the hot sun and pads
fun.
And doing, you know, pushing a sled and dragging a
although
truck
sometimes
tire.
I found that fun too. Good scrimmages and tackling drills, get some good sticks.
Yeah, once in a while. But 90% of football is just dragging a tire around.
That's
yeah.
him. To me, you've named the most fun things I know of. So what
I did
is
that intentionally.
What is fun for you?
Let's see. What's fun? Well, to me, if it's going to be fun, it can't. There's got to be there's too much involved with like let's say football. Maybe even effing, maybe even paintball.
So if you're
for fun,
you
like I would have fun.
If you don't, if you have to get off your ass, no fun.
It's not that. It's also I mean, you can't. First off, you get injured. You get. There's the possibility of severe injury.
That's part of the fun.
Well, but see, that's
part thrill.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm not calling it fun. I'm calling it exciting and adrenaline and, you know, visceral or whatever, and necessary.
Yeah.
And more powerful and important than many other things. But it's something I never thought of a football game as fun, even though I really enjoyed it. As a matter of fact, I liked it more than I did anything else because it wasn't that fun.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
See, it's hard for me to differentiate things I enjoy and fun.
Well, that's a good thing, I guess.
But what is fun to you, then? What would be fun? Masturbating?
Chris, what do you think? Yeah, I can borrow some of that dirty weight. Let's see. Fun. Okay. Fun to me is a bunch of guys, some cards, you know, a fight, you know, some food, you know, the interaction,
some
the conversation,
more,
some laughs.
Yeah, more.
You know, that kind of stuff. A big dinner with a bunch of people I really enjoy and some nice wine,
okay.
You know, that that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And then there's fun. There's like, hey, we're going wakeboarding or water skiing or something. You know, there's that kind of fun that does involve some movement and some calorie burning. But football was too intense to be to be fun. Okay.
Got it.
But better.
Got it.
Better than any of that other stuff. Yeah, yeah. Far better. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, Joe.
Yeah.
So right. You got to reach out. Either you have to get some sort of structured plan in place, like see a dietitian and get some sort of program going.
Okay.
Or you have to get to a point where you find the motivation. And I'm finding through interviewing lots and lots of people about this that disgust, interestingly, is the thing that gets them going.
Yeah.
A moment of clarity, a moment where they see themselves as they really are and they go, yuck, I don't like that, and they're able to change it then.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, Joe, I mean, here's the deal, too. You're going to have to work harder than most people.
Yeah.
For a while.
You may even have to make a life out of it.
But go see a dietitian.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right.
Yeah, good times. And let me just say this about this dieting. I know we get into it from time to time. Some people are fat, some people aren't. It's pretty much their genetics. Pretty much. At 17, it's pretty much their genetics. I mean, you look back and see these kids at age 5 and they're fat.
But guys like this that sort of have lots of play in the body because he's so huge.
Right.
You find that when they drop like 80, 90 pounds, you know, particularly around 17, 18, it's sort of the baby fat thing.
Right.
They can sort of learn to manage their bodies a little differently. He's used to right. having the kid body. Now he's got the man body that's huge.
Yeah.
And he just kept eating the way somebody who's growing from, you know, 4 feet to 6'10".
Right.
And he just didn't manage it properly. Now he has a chance to lose it and then start managing it properly.
Let me bring up another thing that might be interesting when he referred to football as not being fun.
Yeah.
So he wasn't down with it. Well, I grew up playing football and loving football, and Drew's the same way. He called it not fun. I called it not fun, too, but more better than fun for me.
Yeah,
more
yeah.
important than fun.
Yeah.
He's the kind of guy, but here's the thing. You got to be able to take some guy yelling at you and you doing some push-ups out in the sun kind of thing if you're going to play football. If Joe is wanting to lose 100 pounds and
might
he can't...
Might be a good reason to do it, man.
No, I'm just saying he doesn't look at these things as a challenge. He looks at them as no fun, and therefore he doesn't want to participate in them. It's going to be hard to lose weight if you look at, well, you know, eating a salad, no fun.
Yeah.
Going to the gym, no fun.
Yeah.
Running on a treadmill, no fun. Yeah, it's not fun.
Yeah,
and if you're
maybe more than
if you're only
fun,
just doing stuff that's not fun, or you have difficulty doing stuff that's not fun, you're going to have a hard time losing 100 pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
To start getting used to that.
Yeah.
All right, take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right. Angel. Uh-oh. That's always trouble. The angels?
Yeah.
It's trouble. You're 21?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, angel coming to stage 5. Angels on the line. Businessman's lunch coming up. Bottomless Taco Bar.
Bottomless Taco Bar. Is that what you said?
Businessman's lunch. Come on in. Come for the burger, stay for the poontang.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry.
Bottomless Taco Bar.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What's happening, Angel?
Well, before me and my boyfriend have sex, I give him a little oral, and that seems to make it go better, but then he pops before I can get any pleasure myself. So
what do you mean it makes it go better?
Well, I mean it...
Takes the edge off.
It feels better. I can actually feel it, you know what I mean?
Uh-oh. You can't feel his penis unless you give him oral sex?
Well, you got to do it a little bit, otherwise you can't feel it at all. And then once you get
Angel. Hold on.
Now, you mean you can't feel it because his erection isn't firm enough?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but still, that's still kind of weird, too.
Well, as a man of colossal passion, you cannot understand needing help getting an erection.
At young man's age?
He's 35.
Yeah. 35. Drew was once 35 and filled with passion and other things that came out of his penis. Now not so much. But the point is, 30, 35, still shouldn't need a fluffing before the fold.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
A little bit, but then
it starts to drop off during the intercourse?
Well, no, he goes so fast, it's hard to keep him going, you know?
Right, but if you don't give him a little fluff before then, he doesn't get fully erect.
Right.
Wow, this is sort of getting it, you know, from both directions a little bit.
What if he ejaculates once with the fluffing and then refluff?
It's tough to refluff on the 35-year-old guy. They don't have that they don't snap back from the fluff and fold.
That's pretty much what he's got to do, though.
Yeah.
Or maybe
you,
he has
you go downy on him and then fluff him. I don't know.
When you use downy?
Yeah.
Maybe he has to do his own thing beforehand, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. Hey, is this guy, are you guys going okay? I don't trust this guy.
Well, I've only met him I've been with him for 2 months.
You like him?
Well, he's okay, but I've...
All right, so maybe this isn't the guy for
he's
you.
He's the first guy I've ever, you know, done anything with.
He is?
Uh-huh.
Outside the family?
No. I've never done it with anybody in my family.
Really?
Uh-huh.
What's
the matter with their family?
Well, no, but like 70% of people named Angel have, you know, had a role with dad, or at least an uncle.
Grandpa, let's face it.
Yeah. So nothing, huh?
I want to say one thing. I was daddy's little girl, but I never was I wasn't intimate with him or anything.
Come here and give me a hug.
All right.
It may just be that this guy, you sound a little frustrated and resentful with the guy, and it's sort of not clicking. It's just, maybe.
Man, he's 35 and you're 21.
A lot older than you are.
Maybe find a nice 23-year-old guy likes to go at it.
By the way, he should be the one paying attention to this stuff, not you worrying about it. He should be like asking him, hey, this is what I need. And,
yeah.
See what he can do to measure up, but come, you know, meet you.
Also, I wonder, Drew, and you've probably been in this situation. We all have. You know, when you're with that chick, and by the way, he's 35, she's 21, and he's probably not taking her all that seriously. They've only been together for a few months. But you know when you're not attempting to put your best nut forward sexually?
Right.
It's just sort of, hey, listen, it's almost...
That's what I think this
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's like being with a hooker or something. It's like I'm not going to go down on you and impress you. With a, you know, just come on, give me some. I need to get some.
I think
and
that's
it's
what's
not
going on
quite
here.
The right. mentality you have with a hooker, but it's like, I don't need to impress. Here's the thing. You're with some supermodel that's really hot, and you're really into it, and you're, oh my God, this woman, oh my, I don't want to screw, you know, if you're in that, I don't want to screw this up mode,
mm-hmm.
that goes into the bedroom, too. Yes. It's not just about opening doors and picking up checks
right.
and telling me how beautiful they look. That's some extra effort in the sack.
Right.
And you show me a guy new in a relationship that's not putting forth that effort, I'll show you guys not particularly into it.
That's right. Or not available for a relationship the way he should be. One or the other.
Josh?
Yep.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
I recently had anal sex with my girlfriend, for the first time. But before that, we've been having, regular intercourse. And after that, a couple of days after that, I got, these bumps.
From Bakersfield.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes?
Yeah.
I got these bumps on the end of my penis, and it burns when I urinate.
No,
and I don't know what it is. I haven't gotten in to get any kind of testing or anything because it's just been
why haven't you?
Because it's just come up in the last few days. I haven't really had time to schedule any appointments or anything.
Adam, something shows up in the end of your penis and hurts CMP. Are you getting airlifted or are you
medevac?
Medevac.
I go with the Huey chopper. Yeah. Name, pull me out of there.
Yeah,
Josh.
Mm-hmm.
We're going bogus with this call.
Bogus?
Bogus.
Why?
You ain't selling it, brother. It just, you got that bogus tone to your voice. It's not working.
My voice?
All right. Now we went from bogus. Whatever. Now we went to super bogus.
Okay.
You want to go to mega bogus?
Go.
Because we're heading for the bogus round. All right, buddy. We don't believe you. Sorry.
All right.
It was a nice try, though.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
I liked him. He sort of respectfully bowed out. That's good.
Yeah, and look, I like that. Yeah, I like
that's fine.
I like when a guy he gets tagged out at home plate. Yeah. It's not that close, but it was close enough. But he's not going to argue
just
it.
Jogging
back to the dugout. Yeah. Didn't have to argue everything. Yeah. And by the way, I want to say, I rarely take my hat off to our callers, but.
I can't wait to hear what you're going to say.
The bogus callers have been copping to it.
Yes, for the last couple of many months.
I'd say. And here's the thing, everybody. This is part of a sort of sacred alliance that we have with you, the bogus caller. And we can't reach out and, you know, become blood brothers with all of you or have you sign some sort of contract. It's an unspoken, it's no attorney's involved. This is just an unspoken agreement that we have that you go ahead and try to make your bogus call. If we bust you, you got to cop to it. Otherwise, it ruins the whole bogus thing.
Yeah.
It's like a Marco Polo game.
Right.
We're counting on you keeping your eyes closed.
There's no game when you're cheating.
If you keep your eyes open, you never get caught.
Yeah.
But you never get... It's
no game.
Not part of the game.
No game, then.
Yeah, and people... Really, you got to understand that, everybody. Marco.
Polo.
There you go. That's how it works.
Fish out of water.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. If you get caught, if you're out of the pool with the fish out of water,
you can't
jump right in and be quiet about it.
Right.
All right?
Yeah.
All right, so that's fine. And you guys, for the most part, will honor that. But if you're going to call us and say, look, you got a rusty piece of rebar sticking in one ear and coming out the other, and you say, no, I'm serious, and we keep saying this is bogus, and you go, no, absolutely, you know, and the rebar was covered with AIDS, we got to take it seriously.
Yeah. And,
okay?
And it screws everything up if it's back.
That's right. That's right. April?
Yes?
Bogus.
What's up?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, I have a problem. I've always had one breast that is larger than the other one, and, like...
Penis is bogus.
Huh?
Now, what are the sizes?
Well, it started off, like, one would always be, like, just, like, a 32B, and the other one would be just, like, a 36.
Bouncy.
So...
Well, wait a minute. It's really the cup that should be different.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess the way you would measure it, the cups were the same size, I guess, because the cup is the width around. But what it is that one is just a lot, like, more full than the other.
Right.
And it used to, like, not be much of a difference at all. But just recently, like, one breast... My right breast has just got so much bigger than the other one, like extremely bigger than the other one.
Have you gained some weight?
No, I haven't really gained much weight at all.
What?
Are you on the birth control pill?
No, I'm not on the birth control pill. No.
What size? Okay, is like one a D cup and the other a B cup?
One is like almost a D cup and the other is about a B, yeah.
Okay, just say yes, man.
Yeah.
I'm putting her on hold because her thing's so screwed up. And by the way, when you go to a plastic surgeon and you're B cup, they make you a C cup. They don't make you 36.
That's right.
They never involve that number,
by the
way.
And I like the way you say, well, what is it? One's like a D cup and one's a B cup? No, one's like a B and the other's like a D. No.
All right.
No. Answer's no.
All right. So you got what we call asymmetry, yes, Drew?
BD syndrome.
BD syndrome. And... A lot of women have this,
yes.
Or so we hear.
Yes, and directionality
guys never, yeah,
changes.
Guys never really know or really care. But I guess when you start getting into a D and a B...
That's pretty substantial. It would look funny in clothing and stuff.
Right. So then you got to consult a plastic surgeon. April?
How about a cosmetic surgeon?
Going to see one?
Yeah.
I thought about that.
No,
but
killing
I'm...
one.
You thought about that, but what?
Well, I thought about going to see a plastic surgeon, but I was still concerned that maybe there was something wrong. I mean, I don't understand why one breast would completely grow so much larger than the other one.
It's very common.
It's very common, really?
It just happens.
Oh, good. That makes
sense. And there can be changes in the sort of the direction and position of the nipple and this kind of thing, too. And plastic surgeons are used to correcting those things.
Okay, I thought I was like a freak or something.
No.
Basically,
but here's a piece of wisdom for all listeners. There's nothing that hasn't happened to other humans that you're experiencing.
Yeah, it's just a lot of them died 6 months later.
Just,
that's what they're worried about.
Yeah, just whatever it is, though.
They're dead.
No.
They're in the ground, Drew.
Yeah, but even if it's a serious thing, the point is it's never happened before. It's happened before. People know how to handle it. You can be helped.
Yeah, you can go. You can go. You will not stump the plastic surgeon.
No.
Absolutely not. No. All right. I saw that Swan show.
So did I.
Yesterday
for
some reason.
Me too.
There must have been nothing on.
Which my daughter was watching. My wife and daughter watched. What would you watch? Which one? It was like back to back. We must have seen the same one. I did, because we came up here after.
Well, the one chick they made the one chick was skinny, wanted a nose job.
Well, the one with the brown hair.
Except for they dyed her eyebrows and her hair that sort of orange color, so she looked like some Middle Eastern chick selling jewelry.
Well,
on
that was the other one. That was
QVC.
The other one. Yeah, I didn't like
that. Yeah, listen. Look, I keep these fags away from these chicks' hair. Look, I'm sitting at home. I'm a carpenter, for Christ's sake. I got to sit around and go, look, there's the orange brown, the orange hair, they're not good.
Is there a reason you thought of the swan? Just because the plastic surgeon?
The plastic surgeon made me think of the
swan. Well, the other
thing
was, the girl that they redid before the one you're talking about had breast asymmetry.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
She did. And what did they do? They bring one up?
They didn't seem to correct that. My wife was very bothered by that.
Really?
They didn't seem to correct that part.
All right. I like the part where they don't get to see a mirror. My whole thing is, I'll get a whitehead every third or fourth day that if I don't get to a mirror, I'm going to walk around looking like an idiot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, here's my deal would be, look, I don't need a mirror, but you got to tell me if there's some broccoli in my teeth or I got a nice big whitehead or
something.
Somebody's
got to work on you every day.
Yeah, I need like a little spider monkey with a sharpened stick. You know, look, a piece of bamboo that's been carved to a razor sharp point just sort of going at me. Because I'll get like an ingrown hair in my beard or something, a little whitehead. I'll be walking around like an idiot.
That's a weird show.
That's why I can't go on Survivor.
Yeah,
get a crazy white. I'd walk around I'd go home and watch it, be like, oh my God, 22 episodes, big white head on my forehead. No one said anything.
Right.
All right.
It's a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. That Swan is a weird show because the people are effed up.
The contestants. Yeah. That's one thing that bothered me is you're going to see a therapist in 3 months and we're going to correct a personality disorder.
No.
And how about their interpersonal stuff?
Yeah.
The one girl woman that kept going after her. With philandering husband?
Yeah.
The guy's a sociopath. I'm in love with him.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the brother man. Yeah, he'll be back now. Believe you me when he sees her. I like my favorite part of the Swan last night is when they were talking to the plastic surgeon. They were all a little bit nutty. And again, here's the plastic surgeon nut versus the guys who do the gender reassignment and that kind of stuff. It's it's nutty. It's the difference between the chicks who do porn and the ones who dance at the topless bar. You know?
Yes.
Like Marcel, a little bit nutty. The ones who do gender assignment, these are the ones doing the hardcore porn.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
There's degrees of nuttiness in the doctor world. The guy said he's going to use his plastic surgery to unlock her natural beauty. And I thought to myself, what do you mean? You don't unlock someone's natural beauty
by taking
a saw to their nose. That's not natural beauty. You're giving them collagen injections. We're gonna unlock her natural beauty. What? That's that whole sort of it's inside. It's inside. We're gonna get to it.
Well,
we'll get to that beauty.
I always like the way it's buff when they have very very difficult, you know, emotionally disturbed patients. They're like, yeah, they're kind of emotional, and we're going to make them happy. You know, we're going to hold them, make them feel confident. Like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Somebody's acting out here. Come on.
We're going to unlock their natural beauty by cutting several yards of flesh away from their abdomen and sewing that gaping trach hole shut they're born with. It's their natural beauty. We'll unlock it. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Lost Prophets in here tomorrow night. And then Steve Vaughn, Chris Pontius from Wild Boys, MTV. I guess that's on MTV, right?
I think so.
I gotta get hip to the scene, Drew.
Yeah, hey, Drew, why is it that when you rub your balls while you're jerking off that it feels so much better?
I haven't noticed that. Can't wait to have him back again.
Well, just, 48 short hours.
Yeah.
Closer to 46. Let's speak to Jeff, who's 15. Jeff?
Hey, Adam.
What's happening, buddy?
My girlfriend, she goes to my mom's church. My mom's Mormon. Mm-hmm. And, we met and I asked her out, but her parents don't like me because I'm kind of into the punk stuff.
You a Mormon?
No, God, no.
Okay.
But your mom's a Mormon.
My mom's Mormon. She makes me go.
1,000% batting average on that.
Yeah.
She makes you go? Is that what you said?
Yeah, like she threatens to take my computer and stuff out of my room if I don't go with her.
What about your dad?
Oh, my dad works in the oil field, so he's never home, really.
Is he Mormon? Well, was that you?
That was me.
Oh.
Is he Mormon?
No.
Dad is not.
Are you a Mormon?
No.
Yeah, first off, tell your mom if she takes that computer out of your room, you're just going to be beaten off in the entry hall. You know what I mean?
Or wherever she puts it.
Yeah, let me just say something real quick with that, all you people moving out and roommates and parents threatening and stuff like that. I remember that, you know, it was a big deal. Like, hey, the VCR is going to my room. No, it's going to my room. No, the DVD player is going over here. No, it's going over there. Let your roommate take it because your room will become Jack Central.
Put it in the bathroom.
Put it in the bathroom.
Come on, let's get with it.
Let's call a spade a spade.
What's it for?
When is Sony just going to come out with a yellow DVD player? You know, I mean, they've done it with the portable phone, the cameras.
Call it Jack, the waterproof DVD player.
It's actually a pack that you can wear on your back. It's battery operated. It takes six D-cell batteries. You have a fold-down 13-inch flat screen that also doubles as a blast shield. You can go anywhere now. You walk around. That's totally self-contained.
Strapped over your shoulders.
Over the shoulder. Yeah, yeah.
It's like a parachute pack, but on the front.
About the size of a good knapsack, except for weighs 72 pounds.
What do you care?
And you hang it over your shoulders, and you take the 13-inch plasma screen or LCD, and you flip it down.
Yeah.
And it's got a carousel back there. It holds 400.
Operate with your tongue.
You blow into it. It's like a Christopher Reeve's wheelchair. And it knows the difference. You blow it one way, that's fast forward and so on and so forth. And it's bright yellow. You take it to the pool, take it to the beach, into the shower, wherever you beat off. It's completely waterproof. I'm just saying, they do the phones, they do the cameras, they do the video cameras, they do everything now.
Who are we kidding?
Just do the yellow one.
The jack sack.
It goes with you. Yeah. Stand out in the sprinklers and beat off during a hot summer day. Jeff?
Yeah.
I hope you're writing this down.
Oh, I am, man. I am. I take every word you say as truth.
Thanks, buddy.
That's scary.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, girlfriend Mormon.
Can't date you.
Girlfriend
right?
Mormon. Her parents don't like me because I'm kind of a scary-looking guy.
Are you a Mormon? Why don't you tone it down a little bit?
Oh, I did. I mean, I quit wearing my jacket and my boots and stuff, and I tried to tone it down for her. Mm-hmm. But we talk over the internet a lot.
Yeah.
And Drew, you know you can print the stuff up after you're done talking with them.
You print the kids' stuff up, you mean? What'd you say?
Yeah, like you print up your kids' stuff when they're done talking to their friends on the internet.
Oh, that's what we do.
Oh, yeah.
Well, her parents got a hold of and it's a message me and her were having. I mean, it wasn't anything bad, but it was like, because her parents won't let her talk to me on the phone or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So,
how bad was it? Was it anything?
No, it was just like an alibi for her, like what to call me on the phone, like if her parents asked
me. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, how about this? Do you have a good relationship with your mom?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Could you send her in on your behalf?
I don't know. Yeah, this sounds a little sitcom-y, but how about saying your mom? Look, by the way, that whole punky thing, not a great way to go as a 15-year-old. And here's the thing. It does get the chicks, because it gets the chicks that are sort of angry at their dad and whatever, rebellious and trying to piss their parents off. Ironically, you succeed in pissing their parents off.
Then you don't get
so
to see
now it. It's catch-22, because the reason you got the chick is because the chick's parents are Mormons, they're oppressive, they're dragging her to church. She's going to pay them back by going out with a guy who's going to anger them, and therefore, mission accomplished.
Yep.
It's interesting. Now, here's the thing, Drew, though. Still better from just a sort of how much tang are you drawing in high school quotient. Still better to go the punk route and sneak off and meet the chicks than to put on the bow tie and not meet any chicks. Ironically, the parents would love you. And listen, I was I wasn't a nerd in high school, but parents liked me more than their daughters did. You don't want to be in that position. Do you know what I mean?
That's why all your parents, your friends' parents blamed you for the trouble they got in.
Well, There was an element of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually did have, during parent-teacher meetings. My parents never attended those, which is a good thing. I never told them. Yeah. But other people's parents would go. And they've actually told other people's parents that I was in too close a proximity to their child, and that's what's happened to them. Listen, all you teachers I had, kiss my hairy rich ass. Go back to your crappy one-bedroom apartments and your Chevy Citations and contemplate suicide just one more time over that frozen Salisbury steak, hungry man dinner, or whatever you can afford with that crappy salary of yours. Please.
You no good hooligan.
I'll be going back to one of my homes and one of my cars. I haven't decided which one yet. Yes, Drew?
Yes, Adam. All right. Let's go to break.
Let's take a break. Well, that's the show, everybody. Lost Prophets are going to be in here tomorrow night. We will take a little extendo break. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.